hello and welcome everyone to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn, and tonight I've got some help with my friend Pam. Hello, Pam.
Oh, sure. Now you tell me. I muted myself. I almost pulled one of your numbers talking and no sound coming out.
Well, you know, now you're just making me feel normal. So, you know, how many times have I done that now? So,
yeah.
It's just nice to know I'm not the only one that does that sort of thing.
No.
Well, I hope you're doing okay tonight. I have been excited all day long about tonight's guest. She is an actress who has starred in roles on Zeke and Luther. I'm in the band Vampirita and Dexter, and she played the role of Lola Montez on One Life to Live and is best well-known for her portrayal of Gabby Hernandez on the NBC daytime drama Days of Our Lives. We proudly welcome Camila Danis. Hello, Camila.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, and thank you so much for being with us tonight. I know if anyone follows Days on a regular basis, they know that you have had a lot of screen time of late, and you've been very, very busy, so to make some time for us, we greatly appreciate it.
Yes, I have, and I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. So now I want to start kind of with the beginning, because one of the things that I want to talk about is how you got your start in the business. Now, I read somewhere that when you were young, say about six or so, you had a lot of energy, so your mom actually hired a talent manager for you. Is that true, or is that just kind of something I read wrong?
Oh, no, that's true. Well, I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but when I was about 4 or 5, I was super, super hyper. Well, I'm still kind of hyper, but not to the point that I was when I was 4. And people would stop me in the street and say, oh, my God, this girl has so much personality. She's got to be doing commercials somewhere. She's so cute. And, you know, so many people told me and my mom, and one day she decided to get me manager, and she did. And from that day on, me and my sister both have it stopped working.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, that... You know, I'm glad that your mom took to heart what people were saying, because look at where you are today. And I bet she's very glad that she did that too. I mean, especially.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful, because either way it would have happened. I mean, you know, I since I was like 4 or 5, I mean, I saw the TV and I would tell her, I want to be in there. I want to do that. I want to do that. So it was bound to happen.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think, you know, after seeing you on Days, and I just think that you definitely are doing what you're supposed to be doing, no doubt about it. And, one of the things that I found really interesting was that when you were a child, you know, before all of this happened, was that you wanted to become a celebrity chef. and is that so? I mean, is cooking something you have continued to love through the years?
I do. I mean, I love to cook, and most importantly, I love to eat. And so, yeah, I love food. Oh, my gosh, it's like a crazy thing. When I was younger, I used to – it's funny, because I guess I just like things that kind of teach people, because I would be with my grandparents cooking, or they would be teaching me something, and I would just break out into, like, an imaginary audience, and I would say – oh, okay, so now we're going to take this knife, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And not only would I do that with food, but I would sometimes be in the shower and teach an imaginary audience how to take a shower. So it was I just kind of liked, okay, so the first step we're going to take and this is do this and this, and then you're going to take your hair and you're going to braid it, and then you're going to, you know what I mean? So it was just so funny that I always wanted to do that. And I still love cooking. I cook all the time, and it would be awesome to have a show where I cook and I'm also, you know, performing.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of cooking shows, and I love just about every single one. It's hard to have a favorite, but one of the ones that I just really dig is Cupcake Wars. And, oh, my gosh, I have to say it kind of supersedes all of them, but I love the creativity, because every episode you just don't ever know what they're going to challenge the contestants with. And each time I watch them, I just want to climb through the TV and start eating, you know, all the different flavors of cupcakes. And it doesn't help that I love, like you say, like to eat myself. So it's pretty interesting to see what they come up with. But
that's the biggest problem, that you get the biggest craving when you watch Cupcake Wars.
Oh, my gosh.
I have them recorded, and I watch a couple episodes, and, you know, me and my sister are looking at each other, and we're like, wow, we really need a cupcake right now. Like, this is a problem. But, yeah, I just actually made cupcakes today.
Oh, really? What kind did you make?
I made vanilla with vanilla icing for a birthday for a friend.
Oh, well, you know, there is no bad flavor of cupcakes. Now, my personal preference is chocolate. Chocolate. But I like, you know, white icing. I think chocolate sometimes can be too rich, but it depends. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's too many flavors to choose from, to be honest.
So true.
So, now, I also read that at one time you were a competitive ballroom dancer. And I've always found ballroom dancing to be, you know, just so very graceful. And yet the precision is always spot on. So, how difficult is it to do versus other styles of dancing?
Oh, extremely difficult. I mean, for me, dancing is one of the most difficult sports there is out there. I mean, people that do this for a living, I give them so much props because it's a crazy business, especially because it's a business that you work your butt off and you're still going to be in the back. You know, you're still going to be backup dancer unless, you know, you're a professional ballerina doing the Nutcracker somewhere huge, but it's a very competitive world. It's extremely difficult and it takes a lot from you. And ballroom is one of the mediums in dance that is just so hard and the dedication is so crazy. I mean, there's kids, you know, all over the world that are starting to do ballroom when they're, you know, age 4, and that's all they do. They wake up and rehearse and go to competitions and win and then rehearse some more. And it's a beautiful type of dance, and it takes a lot of you, but it's very rewarding and it's so much fun. And I love ballroom. I still sometimes, you know, find places here and there and take a few classes and work on my technique because it's just something that I love.
Well, I was curious if you were ever asked to compete on Dancing with the Stars, would you do that? Do you think?
Well, I have never been asked, but I don't know. I guess if I would, I would consider. Even though, yeah, I'm gonna say that if I was on the show, you know, it'd be kind of hot. I mean, talking about sexy Latina that already knows how to ballroom dance, I would kind of sweep the competition.
Well, you know what? I think we need to put it out there to all the listeners. If you're listening, we need to start a campaign to. The next time they get ready to cast for that, they need to look you up because I think that would be awesome to see you, especially, yeah, I mean, I would think that ballroom dancing is not easy, and that would be something that would be very, very challenging for a lot of people. So, yeah. You and I
would love
to. It would
be so much fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it really would. But even better, I think it would be really cool, like, if they would take, you know, some of the people from Days. You know, I think it would be so cool if, like, they, you know, I think it's always neat when they pull different people from different areas. But it would be so cool to have a lot of you guys from Days doing your own Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with Days.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
We should pitch that to NBC is what we need to do.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Make it a special. I know. Well, now, one of the roles that you held when you starred was when you starred an episode of Dexter. Talk a little bit about what that was like.
On where, I'm sorry?
I'm sorry?
What was the question?
Oh, I asked, one of the roles that you held was when you starred in an episode of Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about what that was like.
Well, you know, living in Miami, being in the entertainment business is a little bit difficult just because now it's a little different. But back, you know, when I was growing up in Miami, there was almost no theatrical auditions. When I mean theatrical, I mean anything that's not a commercial. So a TV show or a movie or anything like that. There was mostly commercials in Miami, mostly commercials and catalogs and, you know, print stuff. And so whenever there was an audition for something like acting, it was very difficult to book because, you know, there was one commercial maybe every 6 months, and every single girl went to that audition. Didn't matter what the character was for, everyone was there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was very competitive. And the role in Dexter was something very small. I think I don't even think it had a name. It was something like Girl Swimming or Girl something. But it was an interesting part of the episode because he was in the beginning of the episode of named Crocodile. And it just, what it was is they show me and two other guys, and we're just, you know, these young group of kids having fun on Sea-Doos and playing around and passing a beer around. And, you know, at one point, one of the boys throws me in the water, and I'm like, hey, you know. And basically, it just, it was, you know, to represent that youth is something so beautiful, and we can't take it for granted. And so it was super fun to shoot. It was something I had never done because I had just done commercials and print jobs. And, you know, it was so cool to show up and get my own trailer. And it was just such an amazing experience, even though I had to, you know, jump into this dirty lake. It was still super fun, and I had a great time.
Well, you know, I mean, for you, that was, I'm sure, a dream come true. And,
totally.
You know, it's such a competitive industry anyway, and so to get tapped, I mean, Dexter has been hugely successful, you know, during its run, and to be able to be cast in an episode of that, I mean, that was really cool, you know, just to have that experience.
Definitely, and like I said, you know, there was a million girls for one role, you know what I mean, and to get cast, mm-hmm. I was so grateful and so honored.
Oh, most definitely. Now, let's chat a little bit about your first daytime drama role because, you know, as many people know, you started as Lola Montez on One Life to Live. So how did that come about for you?
Well, it's a crazy story. So what happened was that I graduated high school 2008 in June, and pretty much I think I might have still been in school. I hadn't finished graduation. I got an audition to send a video, so a tape. I would video myself and then send the VHS to whatever person was auditioning for this role. And so it was for One Life to Live, and I did the audition on a tape, and I sent it over to New York, and I completely forgot about it. So I didn't think about it. We had decided, my family and I had decided that we were going to move out to L.A., to pursue acting because, you know, Miami was very limited. And so we even bought our tickets. I graduated. We packed to L.A. We came out to L.A., and 3 days after being in L.A., I get a phone call. And they say, the people from One Life to Live calls, and they would like to fly you out to New York for a screen test. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me right now? I just got to L.A. This crazy. I had totally forgotten about that. They want, they want to fly me out to New York? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess. What's a screen test? I don't understand. Well, a screen test is pretty much the last part of the audition process where you go and you actually do the scene as if you were recording it for the show. You know, all the cameras, all the makeup, all the hair, everything, wardrobe. You're with the actors that are actually on the show. And I was freaking out. I mean, I had never done anything like this. I had never been flown out by a network to go audition. So I went out to New York for the audition, for the screen test. I remember there was like another girl in the dressing room with me, and I had just left L.A., and she told me, she was like, oh, my God, there was an earthquake in L.A. today. And I was like, whoa, I'm glad I was in New York. And then, cause I had never been through an earthquake, and I'm still extremely scared of them. And so I did the screen test. I was super nervous. I think I was like eighth in the line. I'm not sure. And I did it. And then they asked me if they wanted to fly me back out to LA or if they wanted to fly me back out to Miami. And at that point, there was still a lot of things that were left in Miami that I had to move to LA. So I said, mm-hmm. okay, well, just fly me back out to Miami. This is me thinking I wasn't going to get anything. You know, I was thinking I was going back to L.A. And so I flew out to Miami, was there for a couple of days, and they call me back and they say, well, Camila, we actually need to fly you out again to New York because they need to do a second screen test with you. Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Fine, okay. So I go back up to New York, and this time there was less girls. I think there might have been five. And I think I might have been, like, third or second. I'm not sure. I did the screen test, went back to Miami, and a couple of days later they called me back and said that they wanted to pick me
for the show. Wow.
So it was a crazy experience, yeah.
I'd say, I mean, because, you know, you just sent in the tape and just forgot about it. And, you know, I've always found personally for myself when I do things in life like that, I just kind of put them out there and I just go on about my business. They end up being some of the best things, you know, in life that occur for me. And obviously that was a very good thing that happened to you. And and so when you got that last call that says, we want you, you are the one we've chosen, what was running through your mind?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I wasn't very happy. I'll tell you why. See, I grew up my whole life in Miami. You know, I'm a very, very typical Miami girl. I love the sun. I love the beach. I love my car. I like to be able to drive myself to places that I need to be. I like to have AC in my car. I like to have the radio on. And I just, you know, it's some of the things that I grew up with. And I, you know, sometimes you get used to these things. And then when you go and you think about having to move to a place like New York, where you pretty much have to have three different types of clothing in your backpack, carrying them around all day long. You don't go home till the end of the day. You have to ride around dirty subways, take taxis. You have to go to public bathrooms. You don't have the comfort level that you do where to the place that you grew up in. I was kind of freaked out. You know, it was a little overwhelming. I also had to move to a place that I never really wanted to move to. I mean, I never really thought about living in New York. It wasn't my style. So it was a little overwhelming, leaving my family like that, and things like that. But honestly, I was so happy about the experience, about, you know, booking this huge thing in my life that I had never done before. I mean, most people, when they start doing these things, they usually book a co-star or a guest star or an under five or an extra or things like that. And I just was so blessed to get a contract role right off the bat. And it was something that I was so proud of and so happy that I was like, okay, well, let's go. Let's do this. Let's go to New York. Let's move to New York. And it was, my contract was for 3 years, and that was also scary. And so I did. I lived in Manhattan for a little bit, and then I moved to New Jersey, and I lived in New Jersey for the remainder of the time I was on the show.
Yeah, because I'm a Southern girl. I grew up in North Carolina, in case you couldn't tell by my accent, and I've never been to New York, but I've always wanted to go. But for me, it's kind of like I've lived here my whole life, and, you know, you kind of get used to your roots and your surroundings, your culture, your area, and then to go somewhere like New York, such a big place, it would be complete culture shock for me. I think I would be kind of just in shock for a good while until I really used to everything going on.
Yeah, it really impacted my life. I mean, still to this day, I don't think I would ever live in New York, personally. I mean, vacay, maybe 3 days max, shopping, that kind of thing. So, it's just, for some people, it's a right city, and for some people it isn't. You know, it's, you either love it or you hate it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been anyone that I know that has said, oh, it's a happy medium there in New York City. You know, it's very much one or the other, you know. So, well, I want to tell you, I'm very happy that you took that role and that you started out in daytime with One Life to Live, because it led you to other things like what you're doing
now.
And one of the things that I have read about you was that you learned the soap ropes, if you will, from your then daytime dad, the one and only A. Martinez, when you joined One Life to Live. So what was it like working under such an outstanding talent?
It was really great, honestly. Just the experience that you see, you know, it oozes out of him. It oozes out of the other actors that are there. You see them and you say, wow, these people know what they're doing. You know, they have been doing this for such a long time, and they have this confidence. And working with him was amazing. Not only him, but the other actors on the show. I learned so much, not only about the business, the show, but about myself, and it was a wonderful experience. It was very easy to be around. easy to work with, did make things uncomfortable. You know, he also messed up, so it kind of made you realize, well, you know, if he messes up, it's okay if I mess up, you know what I mean? And it gives you that,
oh, yeah,
that feeling where, okay, everything's going to be all right, you know, it makes it easy. And it honestly, working on One Life to Live was one of the best experiences of my life. It was amazing. The things that I got to do for such a short amount of time were incredible. I mean, I was on acid. Well, not me, but Lola. Lola was on acid, and she was poking holes in condoms, and, you know, she was wild, and it was so much fun. Honestly, it was just so much fun.
Well, you know, you were nominated for a Young Artist Award for Outstanding Young Performer in a Television Series for your role on One Life to Live. And what was it like learning you had been nominated for this? Because that is such a huge honor.
Yeah, it was so cool. I mean, I had never, and it goes back to my childhood when I was young. I mean, at this point in my life, I'm 22, and honestly, I mean, I'm an actress, and there's nothing I feel in this life that I can do with the amount of love and talent than acting. And I feel like if, let's just say, hypothetically, acting wasn't part of this world, I really don't know what I could do, because there's nothing that I love more than this. And to be recognized for it is just such an amazing feeling to, you know, be kind of, you know, the award for me was like a thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for acting. And for me, it's like, are you kidding me? Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being fans. Thank you for appreciating. And so it was amazing, and it was my first, you know, big award, and not award, but nomination. But for me, it was still an award.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When you think about all the, you know, all the folks that are in your category that could have been nominated and to be chosen, I mean, just to get the nomination in itself is such a huge thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many nominations that can be doled out, you know,
right,
year after year after year. So to be able to receive a nomination even is huge, you know. And so since this was your first, you know, role in daytime drama, how did you find the experience of daytime drama to be different from that of other acting roles you've had?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but acting in daytime is crazy. I'm talking about, it's insane. Any person that works on a daytime show can tell you how incredibly difficult it is to work on this show, because we are working so fast and so hard for so many hours of the week. On a regular, you know, TV show, if it's prime time, you know, you might get 5 to 10 pages, if that, in one day. And we are doing almost 100 pages a day. So that's an extreme, huge difference timing-wise, because we are moving so fast and we're shooting so many things, and it's so much dialogue that it's extremely overwhelming. And when I was on One Life to Live and I got introduced to this kind of scheduling, it was extremely overwhelming for me to learn so much dialogue at once and to work so fast. I mean, you get 1, 2, maybe 3 takes, but that's almost never. So it's very hard. And I feel like if you can do this, you can do anything. Because if you can go on hyperspeed, then going slower is easier.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that's one thing I've always said about, you know, people who are in daytime drama. They do not get near enough recognition for what they do, because it is, those schedules are so rigid and they're so strenuous, and, you know, and you work really long days, especially if, you know, like yourself right now, you're in this incredibly, you know, very front and center storyline, and you know, there's, I can't imagine what is going on, you know, to try and prepare for that day in, day out. But I'm sure it calls for a lot of long days, a lot of shooting, and, you know, and so I just think sometimes, it's, you know, you guys are not given enough accolades and recognition for the hard work that you do. And that's not to take anything away from anyone else in the industry, but when you think about your shooting schedule the way it is, it's just incredible to think about.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of stigma and a lot of stereotypes that come with soap operas. Honestly, it's just the way it has been for such a long time. But, you know, I feel like recently, the last maybe year or so, we have been getting fresher, newer, even new fans that have never watched the show before, people that are younger watching the show, and that's really been helping keeping the shows that are on the air, because we're getting a different type of fan base. And so we're getting the normal fan base that we've always had, and we're also getting a new fan base, and it's adding with the one that was there before and really helping the shows. And the storylines are getting involved with the younger generation and leaning towards things like that and showing people about relevant storylines that are actually happening day to day. So that of that is helping.
Oh, yeah. And I love how, you know, the soaps are really trying to draw in that younger audience. Although I do chuckle sometimes because, like, you know, my younger daughter, she's a freshman in high school, so I'll say to her, hey, did you hear about what so-and-so happened? And she'll say, Mom, I was in school today. But, you know, then she'll, you know, we catch up and everything's fine. But it's really funny because it is amazing how the younger audience out there is really digging, you know, the whole daytime drama scene. And, and you know, I've been a diehard fan, you know, for many, many years. And I won't tell you how long, because that'll tell my age. But, you know, I've been a fan of daytime for a very long time. And have always loved how, you know, daytime just has this really incredible way of telling a story, you know, a story within a story within a story, and there's so many different things you can follow, and I love how they, you know, they continually are changing it to try to fit, you know, the here and now, so that it's relevant and it's identifiable, and I think in a lot of ways that does draw in a huge fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great what they're doing, especially the writers are taking risks, and that's something that's important nowadays.
Oh, I'd say, and Dave has done a phenomenal job of that. I think they have really, you know, been the one daytime drama out there that I think has stepped out of the box and really stretched the boundaries. You know, they don't really know the limits, so to speak, you know, as opposed to some of the other daytime dramas. And that's been kind of refreshing to see, because it has really brought to front and center a lot of things that otherwise, you know, in days of old were never, you know, approached topics. There were certain topics that were never discussed. I mean, it was never written in the storylines. It's really nice to see how that's all being integrated now and made very relevant, you know, to what goes on in society, in real society today. Now, in your current role, you, as everyone knows, you portray Gabby Hernandez. And first off, I want to congratulate you for doing such a spectacular job in that role.
Thank you.
You have certainly taken the role, and you just ran with it to make it your own. And how did the role come about for you?
Well, that's another interesting story. After One Life to Live, I moved out to LA, and I was here for a bit. I did a couple of guest stars on Disney Channel and Disney XD. I got a phone call from my manager saying that they were looking for a character on Days of Our Lives, a contract role. And at that point, you know, I had already finished One Life to Live. I had decided to move out to LA to pursue film or acting. And I said to her, well, I don't really know if I should go in for it. I mean, I was already on a soap opera. I don't know if I want to get, you know, if they do choose me, if I do want to get into another soap opera for another while, I might want to work on something different. And she said, okay, well, all right. She kind of let it go. A week passed by, and she kind of brought it up again and said, you know, they haven't found anybody. Maybe you should just go in for it. You know, you're not going to get picked as soon as you walk in. You just... So go in for it, see what they say, see what they offer, whatever. So I go in for it, and the lady that's the audition, the casting director, she's super nice, and she says that she would like to see me again. And, you know, the audition process starts happening, and I go in one time and twice and three times, and I go in for the producers, and then turns out I end up going to screen test. And so I'm there at the screen test, and I'm there with a couple of the girls, and I screen test, and I leave, and I get a call back saying, thank you so much for auditioning, but we actually went with somebody else. So I said, okay, all right, cool, fine, no bigs, it's all right. So I go, I do my thing, I keep auditioning. 2 or 3 months pass by, I get a phone call from the cast director saying, hey, so we actually want to recast the role and we're interested in having you come in, you know, not to audition again, but just to refresh the producers on who you were because we want you. And at that point, I was auditioning a lot and getting a lot of good feedback. And so I kind of felt like, you know what, Camila, just say no. Just say no because there's other things that you want to do. And you already did a soap opera. So just tell them thank you so much and say no. So I did. I said no 2 days. And everybody was really upset with me, the casting director, my mom, my sister, my manager. Everybody was like, how can you let this opportunity pass by? Are you kidding me? These people want you and you're saying no. Well, it happened. And 2 weeks later, I get another call back, and the casting director says, well, what if we shorten the contract time? Because the original contract was for 4 years. And that was a scary number, you know? Being mm-hmm. tied down to something for 4 years, that's overwhelming. So she said, well, what if we change it to 2 years? And at this point, you know, I felt like it was something that was calling me. There was something there, you know, it doesn't happen very often in Hollywood for you to say no to someone and then have them call back and ask you again. Mm-hmm. Usually when you say no, they get upset. So I felt like this was a sign, you know, something in the universe was telling me I needed to do this. And I said yes. And the moment I said yes, I was on set the next day working my little butt.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, you know, that they really wanted you, obviously, to be able to come back to you. I mean, that did not deter them at all when you told them no initially. And they just, I mean, what a neat story. And it just mm-hmm. goes to show you how badly they wanted you on that show. And, boy, am I glad they didn't give up and say, okay.
No.
<you know>? Yeah. I mean, I honestly, and there's probably a lot of Days fans out there that agree with me, that I could not imagine anyone else playing that role other than you. You just play it so well, and it's so believable. I mean, and I want to talk to you a little bit about your character, Gabby, because I know you can't really speak about storylines, so I'm not even going to go there. But what do you think is one thing that most people misunderstand the most about her?
Well, you know, there's a lot of conflict with the storyline about Melanie and Chad and Gabby. A lot of people are very upset. A lot of people, you know, think that Gabby needs to go to jail or Gabby needs to pay for her actions. And honestly, I completely agree. I mean, in real life, no one hires a stalker and then it becomes this huge crazy thing and doesn't pay for it, you know, doesn't at least get punished for it.
That's right.
So, I mean, I completely understand with the viewers that don't necessarily agree that Gabby should be not punished. I mean, I don't think that she necessarily needs to go to prison because she didn't really directly kill anybody or have anybody killed or, you know, ever wish bad on anybody. She was just in a very dark place, which I'm sure a lot of people have been in their lives, where they feel very alone. And being alone is one of the scariest things that you could ever encounter in your life. And her motives and her motivation for hiring somebody to be her stalker was to get attention, not only from Chad, but from actually this other person, which was a stalker. She was literally mm-hmm. paying somebody to stalk her. I mean, that's a very sad place to get to. That's a very sad bottom to get to. And mm-hmm. the way things spiraled, the way things got out of control were not in her hands. You know, she tried to control the situation as best she could. She tried to tell Andrew that he wasn't doing things the right way or the way she asked for them to be done. And ultimately, he took it upon himself to do whatever he wanted. And even then, she was still trying to make sure that Melanie was safe, that she was safe, that the people around her were safe, because ultimately at that point, she kind of realized, oh my gosh, what monster did I create, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very difficult position to be put in because I love Gabby. Gabby's a part of me, and it's sad to think that there's people out there that think that Gabby needs to go to jail or she needs to, you know, things like that, because how can you, you know, how she's never killed anybody, she's never hurt anybody physically, you know, she's never done any of that. She's never even wanted harm to come to Melanie or Chad. She just was looking out for herself, and, you know, it did affect their lives. But, for example, it could have been anybody else. Andrew could have gotten obsessed without Gabby hiring him. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors, and there's a lot of things that go into the storylines, and sometimes you can't really judge the characters exactly from one storyline, because with Days of Our Lives and any other daytime, we flip around so much and we're so positive at one point and then so negative at other points. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to judge the character on one specific thing. I mean, how can you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see her now. You see how in love she is with Nick. You see how much she needs a family and how pregnant she is and how she's so happy with Nick. And how can you look back and say, this person needs to be in prison right now?
Yeah, for real.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And, you know, and I think sometimes soap fans, you know, they are so passionate about daytime. I mean, they're so passionate about their characters and storylines and so forth. And, you know, and with your character being in a controversial point throughout, have you had some backlash from viewers personally, you know, where people have been, you know, tweeting you or saying, hey, you know, why did you do this on the show today? I mean, do you ever get any of that? Or, and if you do, how do you handle it?
Oh, yeah, I've had plenty of tweets. Well, I've had a tweet. I remember one time I read something that was like, if I see Gabby out on the street, I'm going to pull her hair out. Well, first of all, I'm not going to respond to those tweets because it's like talking to a wall. Because the first thing is, lady, I'm not Gabby. My name is Camila Bannock. So if you ever see me out on the street, I don't think you would find Gabby anywhere. You would find Camila. So you probably couldn't pull her hair out.
Yeah, really? It's like, hello, my name is Camila, and I just play Gabby on TV kind of thing, you know?
That's the thing. That's the thing with diehard daytime show fans, that because we're in their living room every single day, because they see us every single day, they associate us with our characters. And that's one of the biggest things that happens. Because normally, for example, if I saw Johnny Depp right now, I wouldn't just say, oh my God, it's Captain Jack Sparrow. No, everybody knows it's Johnny Depp. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you don't associate that character with that person immediately. You associate that person first. And then you might about characters that they have done in the past. But with soap opera fans, it's a little bit more difficult because a lot of them don't call you by your name. They call you by your character name.
Exactly.
And so it's not, for them, you aren't Camila. You aren't somebody else. You are Gabby. And it's very difficult because you're not going to get that idea out of their head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've grown up watching you. They've grown with you. They think that they've been through those experiences themselves, and so they relate to you. And so, I mean, I can't argue with that. You know, I can't argue with how they feel, because I completely understand. I completely understand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when I go to fan events, you know, they call me Gabby. They call me Gabby, and I'm not going to, you know, say, no, my name's Camila. My name's Camila. No, you know what? You call me Gabby. Call me Gabby. It's okay. To me, I know that you see me as Gabby, and that's okay. I mean, as long as there's, you know, no verbal negative verbal comments or things like that, I'm fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
that's true.
It's a little hard to get used to.
Well, and you know, I guess in one crazy, strange way, it's kind of the highest compliment you can receive for a fan to call you by your character name, because that means that you are portraying that character so well, and it's so believable that when people see you, they can't, you know, disassociate your character from who you are as the actress. So, That has to be, you know, I guess in one way it's a little nerve-wracking, but in another way it's got to be highly complimentary just to know that you are pulling it off, you know, time and time again. I mean, but yes, thankfully nothing crazy has happened, you know, or no one has thrown, you know, hurled insults your way or anything like that. But but it is amazing how, you know, you have fans of so many different, you know, television programs, but daytime in particular, the fans are the most passionate I've ever seen anywhere.
So dedicated, so diehard, and it's very overwhelming whenever I go to fan events because they're so loving and they give so much, and it's just, it's so awesome to always see them. It's one of my favorite parts of my job, just going out and meeting the fans and getting to know them and signing autographs and hugging them and taking pictures. It's really, really rewarding.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, if Gabby were a real person while we're talking about this, would you be friends with her in real life?
I want to say yes, because there are many parts of Gabby that are me. So I bring a lot of myself. Well, not a lot, but I bring some of myself into Gabby. I mean, the fans have seen parts of Gabby where she can be very sassy. There's parts of Gabby when she could be very, very vulnerable, very sad. There's also parts of Gabby where she could be very protective, and you see that with Rafe and her siblings. And those are all qualities that I have myself, and I feel like I really relate to her.
So
definitely if I ever met Gabby, I definitely think I would be friends with her.
Well, and that is one question I have for you was, you know, you play her so well, and so can her character in any way be compared to you at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously things that are not me, things that the writers write in that are specifically for the character. I would say, you know, some of the things were, you know, for example, just the needy part, especially during the Chad Melanie storyline. She was very needy, very, very needy. But there are many things about Gabby that are like me. You know, she's very protective of her family. She is basically the person that's kind of orchestrating, you know, Rafe. Did you do what you had to do? Rafe, what's going on in your life now? Are you happy? I just want to see you happy. You know, basically, you know, being there for her friends. She's there for Will. She's there for Sunny. She's there for everyone that's in her life. And she's a very loving person, and she gives her whole self completely. So those are characteristics of myself that I definitely have put into Gabby. And she's a fun character, and I'm a fun girl. So, you know, yeah.
Well, it's no wonder then that you play her so well. You know, now, what has been your favorite storyline thus far since you've been on Days, if you can share that? I mean, whether it be one you've been involved in or just one in general. And I'm not talking about current necessarily, but, you know, any of the past storylines that viewers have already seen and I'm sure are already talking about. But do you have a particular favorite?
Well, it's not particularly a storyline. I'm going to say a relationship. And that is the relationship between Gabby and Rafe. Is by far my favorite, if I could call that a storyline. And I don't know if the fans have seen it. A couple of fans I know have tweeted out things to me referring to that. And honestly, the way that there has been the establishment of the sister and brother relationship of Gabby and Rafe Hernandez has been ultimately amazing. I don't think that there is a brother and sister relationship on any TV show, whether it be daytime or primetime, that is as strong and as connected as Rafe and Gabby. Because they have shown Rafe and Gabby in such a beautiful way. They care about each other so much. They are so involved in each other's life. Whenever you see their scenes together, people are just so excited about them. It's so refreshing. It's so nice to see. It completely takes you out of that stereotypical soap opera realm, and you feel like you're watching real life. I mean, you feel like you're watching a real brother and sister relationship. And honestly, the way that the writers have done it has just been so awesome. And working with Aaron has been amazing. So if I could say one thing, it would be Gabby and Rafe Hernandez.
Oh, yeah. And I love, you know, they both are so... It's really believable. It's another one of those facets, you know, and that's the thing that I've loved about Days since I've been watching is how the writers, you know, they not, it's just not one single facet of that show, but it's every single, you know, storyline at there, and there are various relationships on the show. But I have to agree with you because you both are so protective of one another in your characters that you play, and it just comes across as being so believable because, you know, I know from just having children myself and watching my son and daughter and how they interact, you know, and they have that special protective bond that only a brother and sister can share. You know, it's mm-hmm. so different from, like, two sisters, you know, having a bond. It's just something different about a brother-sister-sibling relationship that is that can't be compared to anything else, really.
And think about all the – let's just talk, like, only Days. Think about any other Days of Our Lives brother and sister duo on the show. I mean, there has mm-hmm. never been – it's a very new and refreshing brother and sister relationship. I mean, we kid around with each other. There's comedic relief, which you almost never see on the show. There's fun. We try to, you know, be very modern about our relationship. We use sarcasm. We, you know, it's a lot that they have, you know, developed with the storyline, and I love it. It's my favorite. Honestly, we have so much fun when we're working together, and, you know, we love when we see ahead and that we have scenes together. We get really excited, and we're like, yes, Gabby and Ray, yay! So I love it.
Well, I'm so grateful that you were on the show and that the storylines are unfolding the way they are. I know that everyone is anxiously waiting to find out what's going to happen next, you know, with Gabby and Nick and the baby and the whole Will storyline. I mean, that is just, I was being written so beautifully well, and you guys are doing such a phenomenal job of just playing it to the hilt. So kudos to all of you. For entertaining
a lot of fun
every day. Oh, I know. It's like I can't really keep up. I'm just so engrossed right now with Days. It's unbelievable. It's just like I'm addicted. I can't stop watching it. So, if you've got time, I'd like to take a couple of calls. Got some fans that have been holding for a little bit to speak with you. The first call we have is Travis. Travis, you're on with Camila.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
I've been a Days fan for about 18 years now. 18, 19 years? One of them.
Wow.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm only 27, 28, so I'm just, you know, but Days have just been a part of my life for that many years. And I just think that the work you're doing is just awesome. I just thank you so much for making everything so believable. I mean, you're just doing such an amazing job. So,
oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's an honor when we get people that have been watching for such a long time because, you know, basically at the end of the day, you guys really are the reason why we're on air and the reason that we are still up, you know, because there's a couple of soap operas that had to go off air because, you know, it's just budget cuts and things like that. But honestly, the fans, you guys, you diehard fans are the people that are keeping us, you know, working. So we're so appreciative, and we want to thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Just, you know, I mean, Days, I think, just has come a long ways in so many avenues. And, you know, they've gone through, I mean, so many different storylines and so many different actors and actresses. And I think that the way they're developing, you know, the younger generation on the show this time around is really great. Like, you know, your storyline with Nick and Will and Sonny and everything, I think it's good to put you guys on the front burner because you guys are the future of Date.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And, you know, it's always great to have, like, the older generation, like, you know, Bill and Susan Hayes and, you know, I've talked to them on my radio talk show and like, you know, Lauren Causal and Allison Sweeney and Deirdre Hall and all of that, you know, to have them as the, you know, the advice givers and for, you know, different situations. But I think that, you know, they need to have a younger generation. And I think, you know, you guys are just doing so well and you're handling everything so great. And, you know, you're just bringing in the fans because so many people can relate to you guys. So I just,
aww,
I think it's really important, you know. You're welcome. I, I do want to say that one of my most memorable moments of you on the show, I mean, of course, there's many because, I'm a huge Dave's fan, so it's, I mean, I could just say a million of them, but when you and when Gabby and Will broke up and you were in Maggie's kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay, I watched that probably like 42 times because it was just so like, it was so emotional. It was such an emotional scene.
Yeah, like, it was very, very powerful.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, Casey Diedrich comes out and Freddie Smith and Kate Nancy, you know, and everyone's just out and like the way just it all took place. Now, was that like, I want to ask you, was that like, set, was everything scripted 100% or was a lot of it ad-libbed by you guys?
Everything was scripted, but, you know, definitely we put in our own, you know, tempo and pace and things like that. And I remember working with Chandler, who plays Will, really hard in the scenes because there had to be a sense of truth and a big sense of frustration, especially because he hadn't come out yet. So he himself was very confused about what was happening, as was Gabby. And so, you know, a lot of that was just working really hard together before we shot on tempo and playing around with things and asking each other what we were comfortable with or, you know, trying new things and stuff like that. So all of it was scripted, but, you know, we did have our own, you know, personal take on it.
Oh, nice, nice. I hope you don't mind me asking. I was just curious because I know, like, a lot of times, well, Chandler and Deidre Hall, like, they had some scenes, you know, where they ad-lib a lot of their scenes. Well, not a lot of it, but they, you know, they fill in, they have fillers just to make it more realistic, you know what I mean, and more comfortable with doing the acting.
Yeah.
So, but I just,
yeah, no,
yeah,
it wasn't.
I just,
they usually never, like, let us. I mean, I wish that a lot of the times they would, but usually they don't really let us. Maybe it's because it's Deidre Hall, you know, but they usually don't
right.
let us and, yeah, things like that.
No, I hear you. I do wish that you and Galen had more time to speak to each other, you know, more interaction with each other. I think that your relationship is so important, and I think that there's not enough scenes with you and Galen. I think, you know, like sometimes like, we go like weeks without you guys see each other, and then it's like, okay. And then finally,
I know,
you guys are together.
I know. That's why we get so excited whenever we have scenes together, because we're like, oh, my gosh, we haven't seen each other for such a long time. And it's so funny because you would think that because we didn't have scenes often that it would be awkward or it wouldn't look like a real relationship. But whenever we do have scenes, it's kind of like, yes, we're so excited that it just comes out even 10 times better.
Well, yeah, no, I hear you, and I can't even imagine. I'm going to get off in a second, but I just want to say, like, the gay storyline has got to be, I mean, with you guys involved, of course, but has got to be my favorite storyline. Myself,
yeah.
I mean, I've been out for about 9 years now, 9, 10 years now, so that storyline, just the way, like, Dace has portrayed it and the way you guys have all been a part of it and have made it, you know, so realistic and so, so true, you know, just is just wonderful to see for, you know, on my end of the spectrum over here, you know, and I just think I want to say a huge thank you to you and to Chandler and to, you know, Freddie and everyone.
Aww.
I mean, you guys are just remarkable and your work
thank
is
you.
Duly noted and yeah.
I definitely agree with you and I definitely think that they have made it very tasteful and like you said, very true, and it's not something that's been rushed because a lot of the times when they have a new storyline, they love to rush it and just finish it and move on to the next thing. And it's been something that they've taken their time with. And I think that honestly, it's paid off because it's something that is delicate and it needs to be portrayed in the best light possible and needs to be tasteful. And it needs to be, you know, beautiful because it's part of life. It's part of our contemporary life right now. And it's something that can't be pushed off to the side.
Exactly. You said it so beautifully, and I wish I could chat with you all night because I would. But I just want you to know that your work is wonderful, and I'm a huge fan of Chandler's, like huge, huge, huge fan of Chandler's.
All right, I'll let him know Travis said hi.
But yeah, Oh, don't say that. But anyway, anyway, but thank you so much for everything you do, and I look forward to seeing more of you on the screen. And thanks for coming on Dawn's show. It means a lot to all of us. And I just
love
your work.
Thank you for calling and watching. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. We have up next Sabina. Sabina, hello. You're on with Camila.
Hi, Camila. It's Sabina.
Hi, Sabina.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I actually had the wonderful pleasure of meeting you in L.A. at the Samantha's Friends and Combined Benefit. I always forget the other charity that was combined.
Oh, yeah,
combined
At Henry's Hat?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Was it at Henry's Hat?
No. It was at a hotel right across
the Hilton.
Henry's
Yes.
Hat. Yeah.
Yes.
And it was such a pleasure to meet you, and I'm so glad I get to speak with you again, and I'm definitely a huge fan. I can't remember if I told you how long I've been watching since 1990, kind of on and off, because there's, you know, life happened.
You said since 1990?
Yeah.
That's the year I was born.
And I was young then. Oh, great. Make me feel old.
So I can tell you, it's been 22 years.
Yeah. It's been a long time, but again, it's been on and off kind of here and there because I've had to stop here and there, but I absolutely enjoy it, and you are definitely doing a great job. I'm loving the storylines. I'm a little mad at Nick, but of course.
Yeah, I've been getting that reaction.
But yeah, you are doing a great job with your scenes, and I wanted to tell you that your hair in the wedding scene was amazingly beautiful. I love how they did your hair.
Thank you. My hair should have its own Twitter page. I'm thinking about it. I've been thinking about it because a lot of people really have positive feedback towards my hair. And so, you know, maybe one of these days you might see a Bobby Hernandez hair on Twitter, just saying. But thank
awesome.
You. Yes, that hairdo was pretty spectacular. My hairstylist, Maria Elena, she is a hair god.
Yeah. I mean, you do have beautiful hair. I would love to have hair as beautiful as yours. And
thank you.
I don't know how you take care of it, but you definitely take very good care of it.
Can I tell you?
But yeah,
can I tell you? Huh? Hair tip 101. You don't need expensive shampoos. All right. Sometimes I just use Alberto VO5, which everyone knows you can buy at the dollar store for 99 cents,
mm-hmm.
and or CVS for like $1.19. It works just as good. And what I like to do, I think the best hair tip for shampoo and stuff like that is just use a different shampoo every month, or as soon as your shampoo runs out, just use a different one and keep alternating, because I think ultimately your hair just gets used to like the one chemical that's in that one shampoo, and then it starts drying out, frizzing out, and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. That's a great tip. Thank you.
Here I am giving style
tips. Well, you're definitely very stylish, so definitely a good person to do that. I have super oily hair, and I don't know how to combat it besides just, you know, trying to wash it frequently enough. So
yeah, that's been happening to me, especially in LA, and I don't know why, since it's very dry out here. But my hair has been getting mm-hmm. dirty more frequently, and I've been having to wash it every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is just, try to keep washing it as often as possible, or not as often, because I wouldn't say every day, but every 2 days or every day and a half. Just try to wash it and try to put as minimal amount of product in it, because that's what's going to keep it getting oily.
Yeah, I actually don't put anything in it. I just use shampoo, and I do use conditioner because I have been coloring my hair too. So
yeah,
I want to be a red. I'm a
tip.
Bottle redhead. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I do.
Try to use it only on the ends. Yeah, yeah,
But yeah, you are definitely amazing, and you're so sweet. And I enjoyed meeting Galen too. I met him last year in the Atlanta event, the Days Charity event that's coming up next month. But he was super sweet, and you definitely can see on the screen how much of a great relationship you guys have, a working relationship. So that definitely comes across
you.
On the screen.
That's what we always hope for.
Yeah. You're definitely doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Tina. And I look forward to
watching you. And it was great talking with you. And I'll definitely tweet you from time to time. I think you did reply.
I try to answer back everybody. You know, sometimes it gets overwhelming. But I usually answer back everyone.
Awesome. Well, you're super sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. You too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Sabina.
Thank you, Dawn.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Well, Camila, I can't thank you enough for being our special guest tonight. It has been so much fun chatting with you and just learning more about your past and where you came from and how you got to where you are on days. And thank you so much for everything that you do to entertain us day in, day out. Loving your storyline right now and your character. It's just great. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure and honor to be on the show and, you know, get to answer questions from people. It's just awesome to talk to you guys, and it's been a really awesome experience, and I'm very glad. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The pleasure and honor is all ours. So, well, enjoy the rest of your night, and we will continue to watch you on Days, and we look forward to what's to come, because I'm sure it's going to keep getting better and better. I mean, summer's coming. There's always great storylines in the summer. I don't know why that is, but it always kind of tends to, you know, as if they're not good enough now, but I just really look forward to what's happening.
It gets hot during the summer, so it's going to get hot in Salem.
There you go. Well, thank you, Camila Baines, for being with us tonight. We greatly appreciate it, and we wish you much continued success in all your endeavors on Days and beyond, and we look forward to seeing much more of you on our television screens as time goes on.
Well, thank you so much. It was awesome talking to you guys. Have a great night.
All right, you too now. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful interview with Camila Baines from Days of Our Lives. And I really like her character. I know that, you know, it's been kind of one of those hit and miss things. There are people who like her, there are people who hate her, and there are people who are just kind of on the fence, not really sure whether to like or hate her. But you know, I really do enjoy watching her on Days, and I'm so excited that she, you know, took time out of her very busy schedule to be with us tonight, because, as you know, she has been on our screen just about every day, and you know how busy she has been, so to get any time from her is just totally incredible. And I want to thank Ms. Pam for being here on the phone lines tonight and manning the phones. We greatly appreciate that as well. And to all the listeners
out there.
Yeah, well,
I was talking and I was muted in the studio, so how do you like them balls?
Well, I wondered, gosh, what are you doing, picking up my habits now?
Yep.
Like,
well, you know,
the dogs
bark, the kids yell and whatever, so I try to keep myself muted.
Well, you know, that's all you can do. I've been guilty of that on more than one occasion, I'm afraid. So, thankfully, not on this show, but on the other show I do, yes, I've had that happen a time or two. So, yeah, that was a great interview. I so enjoyed it, and I hope that you did too. And
yeah,
thank
I did.
You very much. Thank you very much for being here to help with that tonight. And I've also, along with tweeting out that we had Camila tonight as our guest, I've also been teasing the people on Twitter and, you know, social media fans of our show here that we have a big guest from General Hospital coming later this week. And so, of course, now the moment has arrived that I am going to be announcing who that big guest is going to be. Now, I will preface this by saying, when I sent out the invite, I never in a million years thought that I would be getting her on our show. I was so completely thrown and excited, and I just couldn't believe it. And the fact that, you know, because General Hospital is celebrating, you know, their 50th year on television this year, and that anniversary is coming up very soon. To get anyone from General Hospital right now was just, to me, was just like, what? Are you kidding me? But coming Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, we will have the one and only Heather
Crackers.
What? You're not talking, I'm talking. You're ruining
crackers.
This for me. I'm going to mute you.
Okay. Oh, no,
excuse me? Okay, let me try this one more time. Coming Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, we will have Heather Weber from, gosh, now I'm all tongue-tied. Pam's got me all confused. Robin Mattson, who plays Heather Weber on General Hospital. And she will be on our show. We have her for 1 hour. And if you want to call in and speak with her, I would suggest that you call, you know, before we go live at 7 p.m., about 10 minutes ahead of schedule so you can get in queue. And so we can be sure to get your call in, because we want to try to take as many phone calls as possible. It's very, very hard to get anybody from General Hospital on the show. So I'm just so, so ecstatic, you know, about this. And I'm incredibly happy to make this announcement, and I hope that all of you are very excited as well. So that is the big announcement, folks, and just stay tuned, because we've got more people coming, and I'm getting confirmations daily from invites that I've sent out, so I'm very, very, very excited to, you know, to have this. And anyway, that is going to do it for our show tonight, so I hope you've all enjoyed our interview with Camila Baines, and thank you so very much for being our guest. We greatly appreciate it. If you're brand new to our show, welcome aboard, and we hope that you will be back again with us in the very near future. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week, and we will be right back here with you very soon. Take care, all, and good night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop's baked from scratch custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast, and as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.